describing his Yisurim. He's describing, yesterday we learned about he gives high praise to people that come to visit him, and people that are going mil chesed in visiting the sick. Okay, and we're going to start here with page 374, Pasik, Hey, Ani Amarti, Hashem Choneni. Now, in this Psalm Pasik Hey, there appears to be a change, a shift in David's words. Now he's describing the illness from his perspective. First, he prays. Most of Mepharshim that he's with describing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Ashrei Maskil Eldol, praiseworthy are those people who are Mevaker Chole, visit the sick. Coming up soon, Parshas Vayera. Not so. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'ilonei Ma'amir V'hu Yoyeshev Pesach Ol Kichoyim Hayoyim. Next week, not this week, that Hashem was Mevaker Chole. Hashem came to visit Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah. And over here, David as well is coming to praise people come to Mevaker Chole. And then he describes, like this, the theme of the next until the end of the Mizmor is very similar to what we learned, I think, in the last Mizmor, where David, he surmises that many of the people that come to visit him don't, Adrab, they're coming to visit him to see, to assess, when will this person die already? They can't wait for him to die because there is mortal enemies, and they want to get a better sense of what his condition is, to, you know, to make an assessment of how much longer he has left. And when they come to visit, they're so nice. They say, "Oh, David, how you feeling? We wish you a refuah shleima." And the second they walk out of the room, they go on their cell phone and they say, "This guy's a goner. I wouldn't give him more than a couple of days, 2-3 days, and plan the funeral. And let's already plan the succession. Who's going to take over? You think this doesn't happen every single day?"
Who's
going to
get his apartment?
It's no joke. It's mamish. No joke. What goes on in this world? It's unbelievable. Okay. So Ani Amarti. So therefore, David over here says, "I'm no fool. I know exactly." And over here, it's very interesting how the Mepharshim show the Radak in the Malbim, how they really read into these words of this page, on this page 374. Of David says, yeah, I know. You say such nice things to me, and you wish me a refuah shleima. I really know what's going on in your mind and what you say behind my back. Ani amarti, David said, I said, Hashem choneni, Hashem show me favor, refuah nafshi, heal my soul, ki chotasi. The first is another major theme over here, very, very scary theme over here, what it says over here in this page. We have to see exactly what the Mepharshim say, describe it, that it comes a certain point in time when a person acknowledges he's not getting better. His end is near. He's going to die. And it's not going to happen that he's going to have a refuas haguf. At that moment in time, he goes into high gear. I hope at least I could have a refuas hanefesh. Because my neshama, I'm soon going to leave this world. And if my neshama comes to the next world damaged, I'm done. Where am I going to hide?
No, so he has a guilt feeling also. It's a guilt feeling.
My neshama. Okay, we'll see the exact words. There's a lot of things going on here, but it's very scary thing, because in the person we misspell for a person, we say refuas hanefesh or refuas haguf. And what happens if the doctors say that according to laws of nature, there's not going to be refuas haguf? There's no refuas haguf here. It's not going to happen. So that means, okay, what? Okay, derech hateva, statistics. I mean, okay. you can't say not. Okay, you can't say not. Okay, there's a 6-month rule. You know, we won't spend time on this. Rav Moshe talks about this. This rule has not changed. If a doctor says that a person has less than 6 months to live, Rav Moshe writes about this, and Rav Osher Weiss writes about this, and this number has not changed in the last. In the last 30 years, the doctor says the person has less than 6 months to live. That is the assessment of a professional that makes the person, the halachic status of that person is different. He has a different halachic status. I forgot all the details. We won't spend time on this. In the world of halacha, he's a different type of person in regards to different matters.
For example, how is he different?
I think this decisions of chayesha, different decisions of of doing medical procedures, of should a person take risks, and I don't remember the details. I don't remember the details, but there's something about 6 months, and if a doctor says a person is less than 6 months, even though, you know, doctors don't necessarily know what they're talking about. People have defied doctors every day. They defy what the doctors say, but there is, you know, there is teva, there is nature, and there are doctor. There's a rule: a doctor doesn't want to ruin his reputation. If a doctor gives a prediction, he makes an assessment, you know, he doesn't want to damage reputation. And it used to be, I mean, I know I'm not getting politics here, COVID, but it used to be in the world in the world of halacha that we very much trust what doctors say. I remember when the vaccine came out, my cousin, my first cousin once removed, Harav Hagoyen of Herschel Schachter, Atzmi Ubesadi, he was very, very famous, went out, circulated all over the world, this clip. We basically said that people were asking, is it safe to take the vaccine? He was from the first people who took the vaccine, and he said, it has been the tradition of the Mesoira of Klal Yisrael that we have faith, we trust what the Umay So'ilam tell us is good. If the Umay So'ilam tell us that this is safe and effective, it has been the tradition in Klal Yisrael to trust them, to have emuna pshuta in the medical profession. That's what he said, and that was a lot of Gedolei Yisrael mimic. They said the same thing in many, many, many words. Fast forward almost 2 years later, look back in hindsight, okay? So there's been a lot of talk about this. There's been a lot of talk, is that concept, what he said, which is absolutely true, need to be revised. And listen, this is a hot topic, okay? You get your head shot off. You say the wrong thing. And but this is what many of the Gedolei Yisrael came out in full force to say. That's the Mesoira of Klal Yisrael, to have faith in our doctors, in the doctors of the world. And over here, David, okay, we'll see with the Mefarshim in a few months. Let's say the doctors say that there's not going to be a Refuas Haguf. It's not going to happen. So it's very interesting, because we have this tradition that everything that a person has, any ailment that is physical, is a parallel to a spiritual defect. And that's why we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, Refuas HaNefesh, Refuas HaGuf. We believe that if a person is sick, so there's something wrong, that means he should make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Why did this happen to me? Why do I have a problem with my foot, with my arm? Is it possible that I did something wrong with my foot? Did I use my foot to go to the wrong place? Did I use my arm to go to the wrong place? I have a problem with my vision. Is it because I'm not using my eyes properly? This is classic tradition of a person that has a very specific ailment. He's supposed to make a cheshbon nefesh. What exactly did I do wrong? Am I doing wrong with that particular limb? Now, we today don't live in a madrega. We have any way to properly understand these type of things, but there is such a principle. And that's why when a person's misfafa fu shlema, you start with the fu hanefesh, that if I can now use this problem, this issue, this health issue, and make a cheshbon hanefesh, what is the parallel in my neshama that is damaged, which has manifested itself physically in my body? If I repair the damage of my neshama by doing teshuva and finding a therapy to be metaher and to repair my spiritual deficiency, memela, automatically it's going to restore my physical ailment. Now, okay, that's a very nice concept theoretically. Practically speaking, it doesn't really, today, in the 2022, you know, it doesn't necessarily went on a madrega to actually put this into practice. Okay, Dr. Dove, people came to you as a dentist. So how many teeth do people have? 32 teeth, correct? 32 teeth, right? How many teeth does a person have?
They're supposed to.
32. Let's say, you probably know that if a person has a cavity in tooth number 18, you have a cavity in tooth number 18, you know what that means? You have done this avera. Because each one of the 32 teeth corresponds to a very specific facet of your life, and shame on you. Shame on you. And Mela, you have to do tshuva. And depending on where the cavity is in tooth number 18, if it's in this part, that part, and if you need a root canal, oh boy, you better go to the mikvah before you come here again. Right? So just every ailment, there is a spiritual dimension. And before you expect there to be a refus haguf, there has to be repair to the spiritual element, the spiritual parallel, the refus hanefesh. So what happens? Here's the interesting. What happens if a person goes to the dentist and the dentist says it's tooth number 18, it's this type of problem, and that means you've done this aveira, okay? Because I'm a mekubal, I can connect, I can match every defect in each specific tooth to a very specific defect in your neshama. But let me tell you something. This damage is irreparable. It's irreparable. There's nothing I can do for you. And so therefore, that means the damage to your neshama is also irreparable. Because since there's a correlation between the ruchnius and the gashmius, and there cannot be over here refuas haguf, so you know what? Don't even bother doing teshuva for the neshama, the spiritual element. So that's false. That's totally, it's very tricky. If we're mispalel, that every time you have a physical ailment, you have to start by being mispalel refuas hanefesh, and memela. There'll be refuas aguf. But let's say the doctor says, sorry, buddy, there's no refuas aguf. It's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. Al derech hateva. I spend my whole life, once a person gets to this matzav, there is no refuas aguf. And if you're telling me that the guf is parallel to the neshama, so that means, you can argue, there's no repair for this damage to your neshama, so forget about it. Don't do anything. Just whatever it is. Along comes this mizmor, and this mizmor says, no, just because the person has been told by the doctor that in the world of Teva, in the guf, it is irreparable, it doesn't mean you should give up on still repairing the dimension of the neshama. You see, the previous pasuk, it says, Hashem yisodenu al eres devoy. Kol mishkovay hafachta v'cholyoy. In one dimension, this means that the guf is already gone. The guf is not getting better. So if the guf is not getting better, there's no refuas haguf. There's no refuas haguf. So why bother doing teshuva for the neshama part? No. Just because al derech hateva the guf is not getting better, the neshama, the refuas, does, you have to still be mispalel and work to the very last moment to repair the neshama. Ani amarti Hashem choneni refu'o nafshi. I may be now an al eres devoy. Eres devoy means it's over. Light the candles. The joke I always tell you, there was a family, the person was dying, the father was dying, he was an old man, they lit the candles. The family gathered together, and he had a little daughter, and all of a sudden the dying man, he looks at all the candles, they're saying vidui, and he smells delicious apple pie. Ah, it's my tochter. Can you ask mommy to give me a little piece of the apple pie? It's delicious, smells the aroma. And she goes and she says, comes back to her father, and she says, Tati, mommy said, it's for after the funeral. The pie is that. That's an old one. It's such a good joke. It's such a good joke. I have a friend, I tell him jokes. He tells that this is the best of all the jokes he told me. This one is the best.
My recall had a better one.
You got to make light of death, otherwise, you can't deal with it. Go meshugam. Ani amarti Hashem choneni refor nafshi. Just because I'm a goner, I'm on the eres devoy, and you can't be mekayim anymore refuas haguf al derech hateva. Okay, but there's still refuas hanefesh. Prepare. If there's a defect in the guf, that means it's a defect in the neshama, and therefore, before the person leaves this world, take every moment you possibly can to make that repair. Because once a person leaves, it's too late. Refor nafshi ki chotos yiloch. Oyevai, my enemy is yoimu ra. Now he goes and he says over here, what his enemies say? They say yoimu, they say rali. They say, this guy is a goner. This ra to me. Mosayomus, and they say, when is this guy going to go already? We can't wait already. Let's get the show on the road. let's get this over with. When will he die? The Avad Shemo, and it's amazing. Not only do they want him to die, they want to erase his legacy. They don't even want there to be any Zecher ever existed. Pasuk Zayin, the imbal Lirois. Let's say they come to visit me. Now he's describing people who come. They don't come to really to Mavakar Choyle. They make believe they come to Mavakar Choyle. They really come over here to go and to spy and make an assessment of how long it's going to be. The imbal Lirois. Shav Yidaber. They speak falsehoods. They say, hello, how are you feeling? They couldn't care less how I'm feeling. Shav Yidaber. Liboy. In their heart, yikbots oven loy. It is collected iniquity. In other words, oven loy, they're collecting information, reconnaissance. In their heart, what are they doing? No, maybe put the words together. Shav yidaber. I'm not sure where the word libo goes. We have to see the mefarshim. I don't remember. Yikbots oven loy. They collect bad news, reconnaissance. They look at the numbers, they see his blood pressure, they see his heart rate, and they see his blood absorption level, oxygen absorption level, and they take a picture of the screen. And that way they can make an assessment based on it. They go to his charts. Today there are no charts anymore. Today everything is electronic. Okay, remember the old days? It used to be, I know some of my field doctor, he says, you know, it used to take 10 seconds. You have charts, doctor comes in, da-da-da-da. Now what a pain. What a pain to enter everything on the computer. It takes triple the time, even more. It's a lot of work for doctors to go and to do, enter all the information into the charts on the computer. So you go there, you look at the computer, and you see all the information, and you do reconnaissance. Yikbots to collect all the bad news. And then what do? You go out and you post it on Telegram to all of your enemies. You let it be known. Yetze lachutz yidaber. You leave the hospital and then you go and you make a call, a meeting, all of your friends. This guy is a goner. I saw his blood pressure. I saw his heart rate. I saw this. I saw that. This guy, let's plan for succession. Yachad olai. They conspire against me. They all join against me. Yislachashu. They shushka. They start whispering to each other. Oh, call Soinai, all of my enemies. Olai. I don't know why we have a shalshelus on this word. There must be a really good reason. There are not too many times you have a shalshelus in Tanakh. I think you have 8 times in Tanakh a shalshelus. Yachshavu ro'oli. They plan evil. There appears to be a lot of repetition here. Devar
b'li. 3 times in Navi.
8 times in total.
All of this, 7 times all around.
I mean, 8, isn't it?
Yeah, 8. I don't know. But it could be. I do 4 in the Chumash and 3
in the Chumash.
3
in the Chumash.
4.
4?
4. Vayimo'ein. Vayomar. Vayisnamo.
3 in Bereshis, yeah.
What are the 3 times? You have Vayismama, Yosef, Vayismama, Vayimoein by Yosef, and what's the third time?
Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave up Kohen Gadolah, Aaron.
No.
Yes, yes, yes.
What did it say?
No.
Vayishchot. Vayishchot. Vayishchot.
Vayishchot. There is a glot kosher. You have to glot. Why should be in shalshelis? It looks like a serrated knife. It's not good.
Very good. That's Sakat Shu. That's right. Okay. So therefore, Yotzik, let's see. Pasuk says, Devar Belial Yotzik Boy. Words, disgusting words. Words of Belial of that are detestable. The word Belial is a very, very powerful word. Belial, Belial means there's no, the antithesis of Yirah Shemayim.
Right, exactly.
Yirah Shemayim is Kabbalas Oil Malchu Shemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Belial is Belial. It's the worst word in the whole Torah. It's the antithesis of what this whole world is about. The whole world is about Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Also, when a person dies, what if a person is conscious, tremendous bracha to be awake when he dies. So what does he say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Look at the Asora Haruge Malchus. Many of them, they died saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What is it? That's Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim. Here, there's talking about death. Devar Bilial. Words that are the antithesis of Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim. Apikorsis.
In Shakespeare, term Bilial as referring to the devil, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, at least that's the opposite. Yotzuk boy. Now the word yotzuk boy means this yotzuk is it's molded. It's yotzuk is cast iron. When you go and it's solidified. What is yotzuk? You take molten material, whether metal, and you pour it into a mold, and it dries. This is its essence. When it's devar bilgal yotzuk bo, it's an incredible expression. What it says here, these words. What they're saying about David, they're saying about him. Right? They're these wicked people. Yotzuk bo. So who's the subject bo? Okay, well let's see. Okay, when we go a little far, it'll be more clear. V'asher shochav lo yosef lokum, and the one that lies down, David, he will never rise up in the next world. Okay, we've gone through over here a whole page. Let's see the mefarshim on this page. Let's go back and look at the mitzvahs with more clarity and more precision of what these words mean. Okay, we start again. Ani amarti, David said to Hashem, Nadi be'ez chol di amarti rifo nafshi yiritzono lo emar mechol avoni. Ki ha'avon hi cholas ha'nefesh ha'machi lehi ha'refuah. Okay, refuah sa'nefesh, refuah sa'guf. When David was saying, Derpshat, I'm dying, Hashem, please heal me. Ki chotot zloch tzorch ani lemechi lehi refuah sa'nefesh. Umimela, okay, the class that we started with today, the classic concept, refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf. When there's a refuas of the nefesh, the parallel to the ailment in the body, umimela will be refuas to the guf. Umimela tovai refuas ha-guf. He has sa'ad asher yisad ha-sachole. This is the support. What Hashem, now what does he mean over here by this? When the mitzvah study is going, l'shitas in the back in the previous pasuk, the blood for giving divrei chizuk, the person that comes to visit the chole is trying to give support, or the chole himself understands this. The ultimate nechama is to have a plan of action. Person, everyone has problems and issues. The way, in order that an issue, something is bothering you, in order to get rid of it, is if you have a plan of action of how to reverse the situation or to deal with the situation. A person is not well, and what are you going to do? How are you going to get better? Just wait around? This doctor, that doctor. So if a person is a spiritual person, obviously we're dealing over here with people that are, you know, exalted spirituality, they can immediately identify if this, the reason why they have a cold. They can trace it exactly to the avera that they have done. Such an exalted spiritual person.
Are there such spiritual people?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. But we have a Muna that ideally, in the ideal world, people with Ruach HaKodesh, there is such a thing. And if a person is not well, he can immediately identify the root of why this physical ailment has come upon him. Oh, I know the avera. So now I'm going to do teshuvah for the avera, and the mail of my illness will go away. Plan of action. That's support. That is a great source of strength to be able to deal with the problem when you have a plan of action. That's the sa'ad. That is the support, to know what to do. Now, Pasuk Vav, now we go to a new theme. Now we go to David. David is over here is assessing that many people who come to visit him really couldn't care less. They're just looking... They're looking to collect information of gossip, to write up in the National Enquirer about people that this guy is going to die soon. This is what he has. This is his problem.
That's why the Gemara has a machlokus about the Tamei Yibro, whether you should or not.
Right. Also, a person who is an enemy is not supposed to visit his, you're not supposed to visit your enemy, because right away there's a suspicion. Person that, oh, you're coming to see me sick because you're coming to see rally. So here David over here is describing fakers. he's describing here. Oiva yomer ra li. They say ra li. Hinei hara muchen lova yolai umos ayomus ritzon olam hoyu mitzabim sheyikrav lova yom misosi. David says, I know. They can't wait for me to die. David has enemies. You know. If you talk to David, he's obsessed with his enemies. The whole Sefer Tehillim, you learn about David's enemies. It's amazing. People hated him to such an intensity. It's incredible. I mean, maybe now you look at today in politics, there are politicians that are so hated. You know, it's I guess, you know, people in the position of power, it comes with the territory. V'im bo lirois, pasuk zayin, v'chasher bo mi mechem lirois bi ulvakreini. Hoy medaber yimi shav, they're fakers, they're phonies. They speak falsehood. Ki, what do they say? Ki befiv yinachim moisi. Oh, David, oh, I hope you feel better. Uveliboy, I know I can read their thoughts. Uveliboy mekabetz divrei avon v'amal. In their heart, they're collecting words of iniquity and words v'amal. Amal means nonsense, whatever that means in this context. V'chiyotzo l'chutz el chaverav. And when they leave my vicinity and they meet their friends, ha'imedaber ha'oven asher kibetz b'liboy, they tell them David's a goner. He's not going to be around much longer. Pasuches yachad alai. What does that mean? Ritzoyin aloy mar kol soyna yachad yidaber alai divrei ginus b'lachash. They're all the same. They all yachad. They all conspire and they all murmur. They all insult me. The same schnit. They're all part of the same club.
Against the enemy.
They're all enemies.
They have friends together.
They're all together. They have one thing in common. What they have in common is they can't wait until I die.
You mean like that's the what.
The
enemy of my enemy.
The enemy. No, the enemy is my friend. They're all enemies. No one's my friend here. They're all enemies. They're united. They're united in their hate towards me. Okay, like we have with Moav. A Balak and Bilam. Balak was from Midian and Moab. Rashi says Midian and Moab were bitter enemies, arch enemies. They went to war against each other. They had nothing in common. They hated each other. But they had in common one thing. They both hated the Jewish people. So they put aside their machloikis because they were yachad. They were unified in their hatred for Klal Yisrael. This they came together for. Yachad, the Yachshu olai, kolsom yachad, yachad yidabu olai divrei gnus v'lachash v'chashay v'leval yei nishmali. They all speak about me quietly behind my back, nasty things. Olai yachshavu, chosh molai shiyav v'li hodah. They can't wait. They plan. They anticipate all the evil. Pasuk tes. And what do they say? Devar b'liyal yotzuk boy. Now this is a little bit more difficult, this part of this pasuk. Devar b'liyal, oimim olai, they say about me, Devar HaBelial she'oso who Yotzuk Bo has been poured into David. Es Acholi Azeh. Ritzon Eloimar. Avoinoi Gormo Acholi Lezeh Acholi Asher Shachav Bo Lo Yoko Mimene Kimos Yom. This is the interpretation of the Mitzudois. Not everyone agrees to this. And he learns that the people, they say amongst themselves, you know why David is sick? Because he did an Avera. We know what he did. We know that, you know, it's very sad because there are people, unfortunately, who in our generation who also like to say this. You know why the Holocaust happened? Because of A, B, and C. Really? You really know why it happened? Wow. Okay, so this is a nature, it's a terrible thing. They see David, they see that it's deathly ill, and they God. They say amongst themselves, Devar Belial Yotzuk Bo. That a matter of Belial is a catch-all phrase for an Avera. Every Avera is the result of an absence of Kabbalah's oil Malchus Shemaim. The word Yotzuk means to pour molten lead, metal, Gesundheit, hot metal, liquid metal has been poured into his guf. The liquid, the what is that referring to? The Avera, the sin that David has done has boomeranged and has entered into his physical being, and that is why he is deathly ill. Notice they're very religious. Isn't it amazing? These wicked people, they don't believe in God. They're a shame. Yet, when they look at someone else, they become very religious. The reason why this person is going to die and is suffering is because he did averos. Ah, din v'cheshbon. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it the hypocrisy? You see this all the time in the world. The hypocrisy. People that not live a life of hefkeros, they don't believe, they behave in a way, they don't believe in anything nitzri. But yet, when they see someone else suffering, what do they say? You know why he's suffering? Because he did an avera. Because he's a sinner. He's a sinner. And because he's a sinner, God is now coming to punish him for his sins. What about me? I don't believe in God. I can do whatever I want. There's no schar v'yonish. It's manavshach. If you live a lifestyle of hefkeros because there's no schar v'yonish, so why then do you become so religious? And when you look at someone else, you right away you make an assessment. The reason why he is suffering is because he's a bad person. He did averos. Unbelievable. The hypocrisy, that's corruption at its best. Or at its worst, whatever you want to say. And Devar B'Lel Yatzeh, what they say about David, that David, he did an Avera. And the Avera has penetrated his physical being, and he's going to die. He's going to die, he's not going to recover. Okay, so you learn over here, Pshad and the Pesuk, Lifi, the perish of the Mitzvah of it. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, Kei, and Vav. Ani Amarti Hashem Choneni, Ani Ein Li Mevakrim L'Toiva. It's pretty heavy stuff. Rashi says that David is complaining that no one wants to come visit me. All the people that are coming to visit me, they're insincere. I don't have any real friends. Scary, right? Ani einli mevakrim l'toiva. Uchishani tzoik mitzoich choyli v'yomer. When I cry out in my sickness and I say Hashem choneini, and I say Hashem heal me. So we're now going, Rashi is learning, not like the Mitzudois, that Pasuk Vav is a continuation. The two psukim go together. When I cry and I daven with kavana, that gives joy to my enemies. Oivai yoimurali, Rashi says. Oivai semechem olai. Rashi is injecting into the pasuk words that we on our own would never ever do. Where does it say in this pasuk over here they have joy? And they have joy when they hear, when they go and they eavesdrop. I'm sitting in my hospital room and I take out a Tehillim and I start saying Tehillim and I start saying it with the Hislavos. And I say, Hashem, please. And when my enemy is outside the door here, me davening with Kavan, Hashem, please, I'm not feeling well. Oh, they're so happy. They're so happy that I'm not feeling well and I'm davening and they believe that Hashem is not going to listen to my prayers, I'm going to die. Oy, my enemy is Senechim. They say, Dovor Harali. And they say, ah, David's finished. If he's already holding by this, by saying Tilim for himself and crying, Mosayamos. We can't wait already. Let's plan the funeral. Zion, the Im, and let's say they enter, when I enter into my room, they come, they say, Shava Yidaber, Mara Atzma Ki'ilu Hu Meitzer. When they come into my room, they say, oh, David, how you feeling? Hope you get better. Chshu Yoyshev Lefanai. But the truth is, when they're sitting before me, they're just collecting information that they're going to use. Yikbots Liboy Machashavos Oven. Their heart collects thoughts of oven of sin. La Atzmoy. More raw yidaber for themselves, and more raw. They collect information. What they will relate when they leave, when they escape. It's like when I go to the Aguda convention, I collect all the politics, all the stuff that you're not supposed to focus on. So when I leave, I can go and tell everyone. It's a very bad midah. You have to go, when you go to an event, you go to collect the good, not to collect the bad. Machshava is ovenly atzma, when the people...
Good?
What? when you come, you go, they're coming to David HaMelech, they're coming into the room, they make believe they care, they don't care, they're just collecting all of the information so they can go and they can tell everyone what's doing. They collect, so they relate it. What's the machshava? Look at that expression. All of the wicked deeds, the wickedness of David, they're calling David a Rasha. All of his wicked actions, sha'asa, yitzoiku v'yishtabchu begufay, is being poured. The word yitzoik is molten metal. Is that the correct term? Molten is metal that has been liquefied. Liquefied. It's like you're pouring hot metal into my body, begufay v'hoyol asher v'hoyol asher shochav, and once already he's bedridden, they say lo yosef lakum, they're saying my averos are the cause of my suffering, and I will never rise, lo yosef lakum kach mekalele moisi, they curse me. Powerful stuff. The truth is, this is repetition. This whole page that we learned over here, 374, we had this come out, the same exact concept back in Mizmar Mem Aleph. Just different words. It can't be this repetition. There must be a different focus. I don't know what the difference is. Let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak elaborates a little bit more. Okay, a little bit of a twist. And then there's some other things around the bottom we'll get to in a moment. Let's see what it says in the Radak. Radak Pasik Hey. Ani Marati Hashem Choneni Ad Zeh Pasik Divrei HaMavaker. Umizeh Pasik Ad Vatatziveni Lefonecho Le'olam, which is the end of the Mizmar. Okay, the end of the Mizmar, the end of this book. Pasuk Yud Gimel, okay, the second last pasuk of this book. Until there is David. David now is speaking, according to Radak, David is speaking. Until now we learned, Radak learned, him and his father, these are words, either until now we were describing prayer. A person comes to visit the sick, makes an assessment, and he davens to Hashem, the person should get better, or he says to the sick person words of encouragement. Do not worry. Hashem is at your side. You will get better. Okay? It's very interesting to say to be, have conviction. I once told you the story with Pinchas Scheinberg. There was a woman. I know the story almost firsthand. Very, very, very person took a couple that did not have children for many, many years. He's closer of Pinchas Scheinberg, Zech Tzak Levracha. And he had a nice relationship with Pinchas Scheinberg, and he was in America, and there was a couple, I know who the couple is, he took them, he said, well, you would like to go, I'll take you to Pinchas Scheinberg, may for a bracha, you'll have children. So, whatever, I don't know all the details, but the end was that he went. So he came with them, made an appointment, he came to Pinchas Scheinberg, and he went into the room with them, and then Pinchas Scheinberg told this person who brought them into the room, leave, I want to speak to them privately. Leave. Okay, so he left. He left, and then they were in the room there for whatever period of time, and then they came out, and a year later they had a child. Within a year they had a child. It was a miracle. But when they came out of the room, the woman said to this person that I know personally, he passed away already, this person, she was very uplifted. And he started talking to her, and she told him, she said to him, it's been many, many years, I've went to many rabbanim, many gedolim, I went to every doctor in the world, whatever that means, I went to many specialists, doctors, this, that. Pinchas Scheinberg, he said to me something that no one ever said to me. He said to me at the end of the conversation, you will have a child. You will have a child. No one ever said that. All the doctors that I spoke to, they said, you will not have a child. We don't know. It's not good. Went to Rabbanim. I gave you a bracha. No one ever said those words to me. You will have a child. And it gave her incredible chizuk, and she did. She had a child. It's a fact. And you know, you go back, according to the Radak, it's very powerful. The Radak, you go back, we learned yesterday, Mizmar Menav, Lamatzech Mizmol David. Ashrei Maskil Eldal. Fortune is the person that visits the sick. The Radak's first interpretation is everything Mikanu Lahabog, from his father. The first interpretation is starting with Biyom Ra'ah is a prayer. Radak's father said, it's not a prayer. Starting with the word Biyom Ra, the whole page until you get to Pasuk Hey are words of encouragement that the person who comes to visit says to the sick person. And what does the Mavaker say? Don't worry. Don't worry. Biyom Ra, Yemalateyu Hashem. On this day of Ra, of your Matzif, Hashem will save you. Now it's not Yemalatecha. It doesn't say that was the problem we had with the whole Peshat, but he's talking in general, what do people do? What do people in this industry of being Mavaker Chole, what do? They tell the sick person with conviction, don't worry, on this difficult time, you will be spared. They don't say maybe not, maybe if you do teshuva, we're not God, we don't know, we don't give brachas. It will be good. How could you say that? How do they know? How do they know? And then they go on Hashem Yishmereyu V'yichayeyu, they say with conviction, they say to these people that Hashem will guard them, Hashem will give them life, Hashem will make them happy, Hashem will give validation, baretz, and Hashem v'al titnei, Hashem will not deliver their neshama b'nevesh oivav, Hashem will support them, al nevesh devoy kol mishkovi ha'fachta v'chol. How do they know that? How can a person go and tell a person it will be good? So this is a big topic. This is not a pashut thing. The word Gedolei Yisrael that actually said that this is what you're supposed to do. Okay, this is a controversial type of concept because you can't give any guarantees. No one has guarantees in life. You can't go to a rebbe. You know you're going to lose your reputation. you give a person, you will have a child, and what happens if you don't have a child? He's a liar. He said to me, how does he know? How does this person know? You can have a child. Yet it seems this is a big topic. I heard about this. Someone was talking about a certain rebbe, and this is what you're supposed to do. Is you're supposed to say with conviction, it's going to be good. You will get better. But 99% of the time they don't get better. They die. Doesn't matter. Hashem can make a person better no matter what, and therefore you come to Mavaker Chole. You have to give that chizuk. And you say it with conviction, this is what's going to happen. But it doesn't happen. I don't know. I'm grappling for words here to understand this concept. Because most people today don't like that approach. Is you go to a person, maybe be realistic. The doctors say, it's over.
It's almost like Kol HaChalomos Holecha Achara Pisra, in a way.
Okay,
it's wishful thinking.
There's a Hasidic Shemachal. I know someone, he was very, very sick. And one of his relatives went to the Ger Rebbe, okay, the current Ger Rebbe, but this is like 20 years ago, and he came to him and he told him that his relative is very sick, he was crying, and there he says, it's nothing. He doesn't have any disease, it's nothing. The person died not that long after. But the Rebbe, and I remember the person he came back, and the Ger Rebbe told me, he only says, it's nothing. He doesn't have, they see, whatever, it's not, there's no disease. The guy died. Okay, he did have a disease, the guy died. So the person, I was many years, when the rabbi goes, it's nothing, it's like a Kabbalistic, by saying it's nothing, it's like a prayer, so to speak. It's like, it's a Kabbalistic, it's nothing. It's, you mevatel the gzera. By saying it's nothing. But it didn't work. What else is new? But it's a good attempt. It is an attempt. There's something to it. It gives a person, it might just give the person enough chizuk to push him over the top. And, you know, when you look at this pshat, this mizmor, and you read what the Radak says, and the person over here, Radak says, Ashrei Maskil Eldal. And what does the person say to the chayla? Don't worry, you're going to live. Hashem's going to save you. Really? Hashem says, how do you know? You're saying nonsense? There is an approach. It's not a very popular approach, but it is an approach. A Maisha Hoyer, Pinchas Scheinberg. Okay, Pinchas Scheinberg, he told this woman, you can have a baby. And she did. Now, are you going to tell me that Pinchas Scheinberg said it to her because he was a Navi? Listen, I'm not trying to make an apicurious, but I don't think so.
Maybe he said it to other people and it didn't come true. You don't.
Right, I was saying, I don't think Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, I'm sorry, I don't want to be an apicurious. He was a very holy person, and he did a lot of maifsim, but I don't think he's not a Navi. Rav Pinchas Scheinberg was a human being. He lived amongst us in this generation. He was a holy person. The Talmud Chacham was a masmid, incredible masmid, Talmud Chacham. When he told this woman, you can have a child, it changed her attitude. Did he say it to her because he had a vision? Hard to believe that's what he meant. He followed this approach. He followed this. Did it make a difference? I don't know. No one came back to tell us how these things work. The end was she had a child. And she came out of that room uplifted. And she said, no one ever said that to me. No one ever, all the specialists, all the rabbanim, no one ever said to me. It changed her. It changed her frame of mind. Did that change her frame of mind? Give her a more chizuk that she was mespalul more, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her tefillos, and she had tziad d'shmaya. I don't know how these things work, but when you look at this mizmar, and you look at the fact that there is such an approach, and you grapple with how it borders on sheker, and how you deal with this, I'm just, we're talking theoretical things over here, you know.
When Chana came to Eli, and he said, Hashem, you can achieve.
Yeah, but Eli, you can't compare it to Eli. Yeah.
That moment,
yeah.
She went out, Upanea lo hayu la'od. She felt good about herself. Suddenly she said, yes,
right,
I
right.
will have it.
So you want to say, see, but it's scary. You can't, it's scary to say that Eli is like a Pinchas Scheinberg. Eli HaKoyen was wearing the Urim V'Tumim. The Shechina was Shoyra. He was a Navi. Eli HaKoyen is Eli HaKoyen. You can't compare Eli HaKoyen. You can't compare Pinchas Scheinberg to Eli HaKoyen.
No, but she herself changed.
She was the mother of Shmuel HaNavi. Navi, he was Mamlech, two kings. I hear what you're saying. It's a dangerous thing to go and to look at them in our clay in Hasagas. These are people that are just beyond us. So it's true, if the concept is true that in Hanami, it's a very powerful, you want to say that we have a right to say such thing about because we're also studying these and we have to understand them on our level, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to go to do that. I don't know. David over here is saying over here these words, Radak, it's interesting how the Radak looks in. Let's go back to the Radak. Radak's Ania Maritiya.
Can't you say that there are certain rabbis, Rashivas, who were very well known, they gave tremendous brothers, and they were Mekuyim. But these same rabbis and brothers
by themselves
gave hundreds of brothers to people that were not Mekuyim.
Right. A hundred, and what about their own personal lives?
Right.
And many of these rabbis, many people will tell you about the Satmar Rav Rachman Litzan, he lost all his children. Okay, his children died in the Holocaust. They were before and then the Holocaust. They were sick. I don't remember all the details. Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael. The Chazon Nish didn't have children. The Rav Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't have children. And there are thousands and thousands of people will tell you that the reason why they have children is the bracha from the Chazon Nish, from the Satnara, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and v'chulu. So I don't say if they can help, so you can't help yourself. No one knows how these things work. These are mind-boggling, mysterious things that go on. And people, they say, is it a proper attitude to go to a person who's really, really bad and say, don't worry, you're going to be okay. You're going to get better. You say that to a person. You do see sometimes they perk up. It gives them a shtickle chizuk. But the end is, they actually, I once had a ma'aseh, someone in my family, through marriage, he passed away. I went to visit him, and I was there with his wife. His wife was there in the hospital room, and very tragic. And I said a lot of things to him. And then, not that long after, it was a couple of months later, he died. And then I went to Menachem Avol, the Almana. And she reminded me of my visit. She reminded me when I came to visit. And she said, at that time, when I came to visit, she said, she still had hope. She still really believed it was possible for him to get better. The situation, even though the situation was dire, she remembers that time. She still had hope. And then a little bit later on already, she came to terms with the reality that it's not going to get better. And, it's very, I don't know what to say. You know, it's a very painful thing. How what are you supposed to do? You go to a person who's very sick and say, okay, see you on the other side. What are you supposed to say to them? What are you supposed to say? You shouldn't. We give you a bracha that when you leave, you shouldn't suffer so much. You should go quickly. is that what you say to the person? You say to the person you don't. Hopefully, as you die, your death is imminent, and the best we can hope for is that everything should go smooth at the end. That's crazy to talk like that, right? So what are you going to say? You're going to say you're going to get better? How do you know? Who do you think you are? What are you, God? You know nothing. You can't say that. So what do you say? What do you say? How do you give a person hope when they're in such a matzav? I don't know. This is what it says over here. The beginning of this mizmor is exactly Yis Hashem Yisod Asher Maskil Odol, and we have four perushim over here. What this means, and according to the Radak's father, it means this is what you say to the person. You say to the person, "Don't worry, Hashem is going to save you." How do you know? Hashem is going to guard you. Hashem is going to give you life. Hashem is going to make you happy once again. Hashem is going to spare you from all of your enemies. Hashem is going to support you on your deathbed. How do you know?
Is it better to say bad
things? But you know, you're not allowed to lie. Midvash sheker tirchak. You're not supposed to lie. You're supposed to be realistic. Okay, this is not a fantasy religion.
But you're not supposed to say you're dying, deal with it.
Definitely not. Definitely not, unless you're a Litvak. A Litvak. Every day you say, you're going to die. Do the shuva. Bang your head into the wall. I remember I was in the hospital, so there was a big surgeon, and a very big surgeon, and there was a surgery, very serious surgery, very big Rosh Yeshiva, and they were all davening, and they're shuckling. They were shuckling. And the surgeon says, "Why are all these guys banging their head into the wall?" They were sitting by the wall, okay? They were davening, and they were shuckling. So from the doctor's perspective, it looked like they're banging their head into the wall. When you're shuckling in front of the wall, you know, if you don't look carefully, so the surgeon said, "Why are all these guys banging their head into the wall?" They all came a vigil outside, you know, the hospital room where the person was being prepared for surgery. He never saw from people daven before. What are you banging your head into the wall? All right, whatever it is, this is very painful and very, 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 very frightening psukim. And obviously, in these psukim, you're dealing over here with some of the biggest secrets of the world. Let's finish up with the Radak. Ani Amarti.
These are only problems for us. When Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, the way you described it, he has such Ruach HaKodesh.
To me, it's hard to say such a thing. Rav Pinchas Scheinberg was a holy, holy, holy person. The Gadol Hadar, well, from the Gedolei Hadar. You're going to tell me that I have Ruach HaKodesh? If you're telling me as a fact, okay.
You see clearly that he...
Like he said, like Eliezer said, there are a lot of Gedolim stories. You take out these books, Living with Emunah. They're already up to volume number 6. Volume number 6. For every story in Living with Emunah, if you probably can find 100 other stories that have the same exact circumstances where the results turned out to be no good. So is it an approach in Amunah to take the one story, the 1 in 100 stories, look at the miracle that happened.
There's hope.
So that's obviously the purpose of us. When they published Living with Amunah, they're up to ready version of the 6th book, these type of stories, and they translated already into other languages. When they published the first book, I was told by someone who is in the art scroll, it was not yet properly edited. They used to be very makbe, you know, art called muga. Everything has to be perfect. There was a deadline that had to be printed for some reason, and they didn't finish editing the book. It was just not polished. It was not polished according to their standards. And they made a decision that this book is dead on arrival. There's no one's going to buy the book anyway, because this whole thing is hocus pocus. And no one's going to buy the book. So you know what? We're going to make an exception, even though we're not finished editing the book, and it's not polished according to our standards. No one will notice, because no one's going to buy it anyway. They printed it. Now, fast forward 10 years later, they reprinted it already, who knows how many times, and they already wrote another 6 books like this, and they've translated into French and Hebrew and who knows what. Go figure, right? Go figure. People, you never know what people...
I'm not calling it Ruach HaKodesh, but they have a vision, and they can see things that we don't understand, but they do, and they see things.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you.
There's a story I mean, at Baba Sali that he knew where the captor of that kid was,
yeah,
in Morocco, and he said, go over there, and he was never there, and he described it. You want to believe it? You don't want to.
Okay, I'm not arguing. I'm not 100%. Rav Moshe Feinstein, look, Rav Moshe Feinstein, a lot of spooky stories. Rav Moshe Feinstein knew when Rav Hudner was released. There's no way in the world he could have known. And he told the people already. He's okay. He's been released. Right? When Rav Hudner was in the life, and how do you know? There's these crazy spooky stories. How did he know? There's no way in the world he could have known. You're right. There are a lot of Gedolei Yisrael who had insight into things that are Ruach HaKodesh. So do you want to say that Rav Pinchas Sharmer told this woman she's not have a child, that means he had insight?
It's Ruach HaKodesh. It's a type of a vision that they have.
But you have to do an assessment, exactly what Rabbi Eliezer says. There's no way to know. How many people did he say to that you will have a child and did not have a child?
So he's not 100% with his vision.
So the question is...
To not believe that it's a good possibility, there is a possibility that they have this vision.
Correct, but are you allowed to say to a person something to give a person false hope?
That's because I'm just a regular person, so who am
should
I?
Should Dari Shalom?
I don't know nothing. I don't know the Madrega. I don't know Pinchas Sharmer. Maybe he was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not for me to say. But we do have a right, I think. We live in a world today, and we do have a right to have an understanding of a perception of who people are. Today, there's no such thing as Ruach HaKodesh. And I mean, there's no prophecy. And, you know, you have to be realistic. So when you're in that situation where a person is very, very desperate, is it proper to imitate some of the Gedolei Yisrael who say things like, don't worry, you will get better, when the statistics are, no, you're not going to get better. What is the proper approach? You can't generalize, obviously. You can't generalize.
You have to listen to the words that they say. Are they saying you will get better or it will be okay?
No, you're right. That's not what I said. You'll be okay is something which is a it will be okay means it will be what Hashem wants it to be.
Exactly.
Right. That's a politically correct statement. But for many people, that's not enough. For people, that's not enough. People, they want to hear you. They want to hear a gadol say to them, you will get better. They don't want to hear. They don't want to go. People wonder if Chaim Kanievsky. They didn't want Chaim Kanievsky to say, it will be what it will be. They wanted him to say, you will have a child. You will have this. You know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you want to go talk about these type of stories?
They weren't very quick to say those words.
They were not. There are a lot of stories. I've had the story of Chaim Kanievsky very recently, really crazy stories. Do you believe them or not? I don't know if they're true or not. A guy came to him, Chaim Kanievsky, and he wanted to have a child. And Chaim basically didn't want to give him a brach. He says, there's nothing I can do. And the person says, I'm not leaving here. I'm not leaving until you give me a brach. I don't care. I'll sleep here. I will not leave here. And he didn't. He refused to budge. He sat there, I think, a whole day, a whole night, and they tried to literally throw him out. He refused to leave, and they kept on telling him, Chaim, this guy is not going. I got to get rid of him. Call the police to get him out of the house. I don't know the whole thing. He told him, go to my wife. He went to the guy's wife, went to Rav Chaim's wife, went back and forth. At the end of Rav Chaim's, all right, you'll have a child. And he did. So, is the story even true? I don't know.
It's in the book. Yeah.
I don't know. I went to Rav Chaim twice. The first time I went to Rav Chaim, I was literally shaking. The second time I wasn't. The second time, I didn't feel anything. And it bothers me. I didn't speak to him. I just watched. I watched someone else. And yeah, like, listen, these are the Gedolei Yisrael, and not for someone like me to open up my mouth. These are the Gedolei Yisrael, and they don't need my haskama. Obviously, they don't need. And a lot of these stories. I know. My grandmother went to the Satmar Rav, got a bracha. I know someone. This is a very famous one. There's someone in this community. He has 13 children. And he attributes, and they're very baruch Hashem. They're very successful, and this person's a real litvak, a yekka, and he says. Why can't I live yet? Why? He's a yek, a real. And many years ago, after he got married, he needed parnasa. So they gave him a job. He got a job to teach English in Satmar. Okay, Satmar then was a teeny little. What was there in Satmar then? This probably goes back 60 years ago, 50 years ago. And they hired him to try to teach these wild Hasidic boys a few words of English. To teach them how to sign their name, to teach them some basic skills in elementary school, high school. And he worked, he devoted himself to teach these boys something. One day he gets a call from the prince, the Rebbe wants to talk to you. So he goes into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, I understand that, you know, you're very good. You really devote yourself. We pay you here probably nothing. I don't pay you any, whatever they pay you, and you do you work be'amuna here, and I want to thank you for helping us out here in Satmar. I give you a bracha. You should have a lot of children. That was the bracha he gave him. He has now Kenayinahar 13 children, and all of them also have baruch Hashem a lot of children, and they all say the reason why the zeichut have 13 children baruch Hashem good gesunde children b'liayinahara. He always says it's the bracha of the Satmar Rav. He gave me that bracha. These are dvarim ha'im din buruma shalaylam. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. I mean, you fill up a whole library. A whole library of stories from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Mivsim beyond mivsim. You cannot deny. Cannot deny incredible mivsim. All right.
I had also a case. We went with my first wife, Sukhana Bracha. We went Rav Levin was the Nazir for Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
So his son, they told him to go there. We had three requests, two of sicknesses in the family, and one about the shidduch. The second shidduch, we came there, we sat down, and we just told him the story, and he said, give me the three names, with the name of their parents. And he gave the note, he left the room, we heard him crying bitterly. I never heard, I thought something happened to him, he fell or something. So my wife told me, she told him, just leave him alone. He came back, it was like nothing happened, he gave me 10 shkalim, and he says, give it to the first ani that you meet in the street. And everything will be okay. We went down the street, went two blocks away, and there was Rehov Harav Arya Levin, and Ani was sitting there. So we gave him this 10 shkalim that the Rav gave us and put it in his box. The three requests in a very short time.
Wow, I'm going. Give me a ticket. Give me a ticket to go there.
I'll tell you one of them. The girl, it was a little girl, she had to we had to replace her blood. The entire blood had to be replaced because she lost blood constantly. And suddenly, the doctor said, we don't know what happened. Nothing happened, she's well. She got married already. And another one, the shidduch, 3 months after that, was a woman who lost her husband, heart attack. She got a second shidduch, beautiful shidduch. And I forgot what was the third bakasha. All three were done in a very short time. He didn't say it will be okay. Just give the zakah, Hashem yazor.
My mother told me a story about my grandmother during the war, when she was escaping, they met a Rebbe. And the Rebbe stopped them just and said to my grandmother, in Yiddish, I don't know how in Yiddish, give tzedakah so that you will be saved. He said to her, he looked at her and said to my grandmother, give tzedakah so that you will be saved. So she got scared. It was a big Rebbe. During the war, I know they were running face, sakonis and fascists. She gave tzedakah. And then, not that long after, they were on a train, and there was a meshugana that wanted to kill her. And like, somehow, miraculously, she was able to run away, and she attributes the whole thing, is like the Rebbe came and had Ruach HaKodesh, give tzedakah so you'll be saved. Who knows? Listen, who knows how these things work? We don't know how these things work. All right, we have to stop here. We're gonna very controversial topic after the break. Very controversial topic. Don't go away. Keep you in suspense.